It's good to see you guys. Amen. I know this couple here is desiring to come to church. Pastor Chris may have shared it already. Their desire is to be here. If anyone can pick them up or take them home after or before services, please see us. Amen. I'm not sure where they live. I don't think it's very far from here, right? Maybe 10 minutes. But that's walking, right? So... yeah, so please see Pastor Chris or I if you can pick them up. Amen. How many know, you know what? God is doing something. God is doing something. He is on the move. Amen. And I'm just so excited. I know Pastor Chris, and I hope you guys are as well, excited about what God is doing in this house. And I know it costs something, you know, the prayers and everything. I know it's going to cost, you know, to be, maybe be here a little early, but there, it's vital. It's vital. It's like coming into the presence, the body, coming into the presence, and all I can say is the oneness and one accord, amen? And it's so vital when brothers and sisters, you don't even have to speak a word, but you can feel the presence of God meeting you, amen? And just taking that time out for just, very shortly, just taking that, I know you have your prayer at home, but taking that out with the body of Christ is very vital, amen, that's all I can say, and it may cost us, like Pastor Chris said, and he called it the thirsty, you know, if you're really thirsty, and what I spoke about last week about being thirsty, being, having that thirst for Christ, and to come to Him. All those who are thirsty, that are weary, that are burdened, come, and He will give it to you. The water of life freely. Amen. But that's not where I'm going. I just wanted to encourage you to come to the prayers if you're able to. And I know God will meet us there. Amen. I know praise and worship, they have their time, out here before they even enter into worship. And then we continue, as they're worshiping, we continue back in the room in the back, and we continue in prayer, even while they're preparing out here. So I encourage you. Amen. But what I was going to talk about that tonight, that you are God's beloved. And I know sometimes that's hard for us to understand. And on the deepest level from Christ, coming from His viewpoint, is so hard for us to grasp, because most of us don't feel loved. Most of us don't feel worthy or that we're accepted, but He calls us His beloved. Amen. Just like the Father on high called His Son, He is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And if we are in Christ, which it says that we are in Christ, then we are His beloved. Amen? So that's what I was going to talk about tonight. And I wrote this down because this is where, like, a lot of us, I think I feel, are. That have we ever asked God, I believe, for something and believed in something, but we allowed negative thoughts about ourselves to distract and pull us away from what we are seeking God about. Okay? We allow the negative, and we allow our shortcomings to cause us to doubt that God would ever grant what we are asking Him for. To doubt that He even loves us. Okay? So sometimes we step in over here and we are believing, but we allow sometimes our negativity and the things that we think about ourselves to distract and take away from that we are asking God for, okay? And that's what I'm saying. It's our own shortcoming. It's our own failures that get us caught up. When something goes wrong, the first question that comes to our mind is, what have I done? What, God, why am I being punished for this? Have we ever been there? We have all been there. And we ask sometimes things, and all these things may happen, whether you get somebody in your family that has a sickness, whether you experience, and you know, it's death. We ask, what have I done? What happened, God? Are you trying to punish me? And we get this in our our mind up here, and we think that he's trying to, he doesn't love us, and that we're not worthy, and what can you do more to get into God's presence, that he would love you more, and this wouldn't happen. We sometimes feel that others deserve it more than we do. That others, if they are blessed in this area or blessed in that area, God, and then there's this little kind of jealousy that creeps up. Why are they being blessed and I'm not? And we think that they deserve it more than we do. Come on, we might experience in our own families. You know, I had wonderful parents growing up, but sometimes I didn't feel the most loved child. My youngest brother, God bless him. He grew up when he was even a baby. He had asthma real bad. We had always had to go to the doctors. He was always in the hospital when he was little. And going to the doctors every Friday, I remember every Friday we had to go to the doctors after school, and he had to get his shot, his allergy shot, you know. And my mom doted on him, and everything, you know, if he got hurt or bumped or it was just, he was the baby of the family. And it's not that my parents loved us any less than him. You know, sometimes we think, oh, because he's loved more, this one's loved more, or they look like they are. No, we are loved. Listen, you are loved. God can't love you any more, and he cannot love you any less, each and every one of us. Amen. The problem though that we have is with our understanding, and how we see Christ seeing us is how our viewpoint is how Christ sees us. That is our whole problem. How he sees us. Hallelujah. We have to see ourselves as God sees us. Amen. And you know where it's found? In this very roadmap, blueprint, whatever the word of God, it's found in here. How much he desires you, how much he loves you, how much he gave himself for us. Amen. And there's nothing you can do to work it up, to get any more, to prove yourself to him. It just is. He loves you no matter what. Amen. You are his beloved. Amen. His beloved. And I wrote this down. Physically, you are what you eat, right? We are all experiencing that in a sense. We are what we eat. If we put burgers in, we're going to feel like a burger. And we're going to feel, oh, you know. That is so true with spiritually. What you put in is what's going to come out and what you think about. If you are putting this within you, you are going to think about it. Amen. But if you're not partaking of this and partaking of his goodness and his word, then you're not going to get out of that. You're going to feel those negativity and those thoughts of worthlessness and thoughts of I'm not good enough, and do you think God loves me? I don't think he loves me like he loves her. Beth is a saint. God has to love her. You know, we think these things, though. We do. And we have to get over those for God to allow God to work in our lives like he wants to do in our lives. Amen. But we have to believe and receive the way he sees us. Amen. We have to stop with the bad, the negativity in here, and believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Just believe what he thinks about you, what he sees about you, what he knows about you. And sometimes I think we don't stop and think that. Sometimes we just don't stop and ponder the way God sees us. You know, that we could look in a mirror, or we see all the flaws. Why do we see all the negativity? We do, instead of seeing all the positive, that you are a child of God. You are a child of the Most High. You are altogether lovely, the beautiful, the lily of the valley. We think, you know, why don't we quote scriptures about ourselves instead of thinking all the negativity stuff, you know? What you think about God and about how God sees you will directly influence the results you get spiritually. It is so true. What you think about will influence the results. The prayers you pray, listen, how you think about yourself will influence the way you pray. The miracles you receive, the things you accomplish, the way you relate to people and the dreams you embrace for yourself and your family. Listen, it's all in how we think about God and the way He sees us. Okay? So I'm putting it out there. How does God see us? Amen? You can go to 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to go 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not." You can go ahead to 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that he hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. I want to go back there. Did you see the verse 2? Beloved, amen. Now are we the sons of God. Pastor Chris has been talking about sons of God, that we are the sons of God. And we have to believe that we are the sons of God. There's three levels, okay? You get your Christian that just comes in and they sit in their pew. They are saved. They're set free. You know, if they so choose to be born again, and they're set free. And then there's the second level, that they know that there's more, and they come and they participate, and they may put in their tithing offering. But then there's a third level. There's our sons, and they know what it is to come and serve. And they may put in their tithe, and then they put an above what their tithe is. Okay? Ouch. You know, because that is a son. They want to be here. They want to serve. And you know what? A son knows who he is. He knows he's a son. Amen? Not that he's the one that, like Pastor Chris talked about, that left the father's house and went looking for something else. He didn't know he was a son. He already had what the father had. But no, he left the house, went looking for something else. He wanted his inheritance. He said, "Father, give me, I want it now." And he went out and spent all that he had. And when he was done, we all know the story, he was left hungering in a slop area pen and with the pigs and eating what they had. And he came to his senses and he believed. He said, "I just need to go back to my father's house. I need to go partake what my father had." Amen. He came to his senses and realized it's in the father's house. Amen. Who I am is in the father's house. Amen. So you are in the father and the Christ is in you. You are one. Hallelujah. See how very much our father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are, his children. But you have to believe it. We are his children. He called us his children, but we have to believe it. Hallelujah. We are already God's children, his sons. Not tomorrow, not after we become strong spiritually, not after we die. We all think that. It's now. You are a son now. You know why? Because all Christ did for you, it's already done. All we have to do is just step in it and accept it and believe it. And let it just be a part of who we are. Everything that He is, we are. We are sons of the Most High. Hallelujah. And when I say sons, daughters, too, you know, we're a son. I'm just saying sons, you know. Woo! The Father in heaven said this to his son. It's found in Mark. You don't have to go there. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. You are God's beloved, in whom he is well pleased. Because if you are in Christ, he is already well pleased with us. Amen. He sees us in Christ. He's saying this unto us. Amen. He is well pleased with us. You are God's beloved. Amen. Beth, you are God's beloved. Sonia, you are God's beloved. Amen. Michelle, you are God's beloved. Hallelujah. All of us, I could name every one of you. You are God's beloved. But we have to believe it. Believe it. Amen. The word beloved in the Greek means, I can't think of what I wrote. Agapetos. Yeah, that's it. Agapetos. And it means loved with agape. And we all know that phileo is a natural form of love, but agape is the God love. Amen? So he's saying, beloved, I love you with that God love, the agape love of God that is so deep. Amen? It's active, it's self-sacrificing, and it's absolutely unconditional. That's what the agape love is. It's unconditional. It doesn't have limits on it. It's not with terms. Well, if you love me, I love you. It's unconditional. You cannot do anything to defeat this love. You can't do anything to wipe it out. It is what it is, and he loves you agape unconditionally. Amen? This is a love that doesn't have to be earned. A deep love that just is. Most of us believe, however, we have to earn love. Okay? We do. We believe that it's been taught in us since we were little that we have to earn it from our families, from God, from other people, that we were taught, that from the world even, that we have to earn it. But God says, no, you don't have to earn this love. I already paid the price for it. And I took it to the cross so I could have each one of you. You don't have to earn it. Amen? So we have to get that out of our thinking up here, that we don't have to earn it. But that's not what being God's beloved means. It's about being loved unconditionally and without having to earn it. Amen? But I wrote down, too, it's hard to believe in church because church has taught us for centuries the opposite. Think about it. They have taught us the opposite for centuries about just be good and maybe you'll get to go to heaven. They taught us sometimes, and this comes back, I don't know where it started, just be good, do good unto your brother and sister, and maybe you'll get to go to heaven. No, you don't have to do anything to earn his love. You don't have to be good. You're already good. Okay? You don't have to try to get to go to heaven. You are already, if you're in Christ, you have your ticket. But that's what we don't even want to think about going, in a sense, like Pastor Chris said it the other night, flying off in the, you know, why do we want to die and go there? A lot of people just want to close the book and go be with Jesus because they want to get out of this. No, I want to go be with Jesus here on earth and reign forevermore. And listen, give it to my brothers and sisters. I want to stay alive as long as I can because I have a voice within me declaring his goodness and his mercy and his love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to fly, you know, if God so chooses, that be it. And I know I'm going to be in the presence of the Heavenly Father. I know that I know because I am in him and he is in me. Amen. But I want to be here on earth to declare his goodness, his faithfulness, his joy, and his love. Amen. To the next generation. Hallelujah. So God gave us life and unconditional love, and we are told to give God nothing. We don't have to give him anything. We don't have to. He gives us all this, but we don't have to give him anything. He just says, come. Come. However you are, just come. Amen? Nothing is demanded from us before or after in return. There is nothing we can do that will cause God to stop loving us. Nothing will cause that love to be ever, ever taken away. It can't. Amen? He will never take his love from you. He will never stop loving you, no matter what. It's not a part of him. You know, it's not God. He loves you, and he loves you unconditionally, and we have to receive it and believe it. That's all we do. Just stand there. We don't have to do anything but believe it, receive it. Amen? Just believe his word. Hallelujah. Instead, we get an invitation one that we are free to either embrace or ignore. There's only two options. The invitation to come unto Jesus, we can either ignore it or we can receive it, embrace it. Amen. God invites us just to trust the gift, to trust in the active, unconditional love. He just wants us to trust in His love. That's all it is. Just trust that the gift that He has for us is available. It's here. Just trust Him with what He wants to give to you. It's a gift. Amen? Has anyone got... Whoever, you two look at each other. I know you're not beside each other. Sonia and Beth, you two. And the three of you can do it, okay? But I want you to look at each other. I know. And just tell them, you are God's beloved. Again. Is it hard to believe? You just believe it. Just receive it. It's like God speaking to you. You are God's beloved. Believe it and trust in it. Amen? Just believe it and trust in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The most powerful being in the universe loves you. Loves you. The most powerful being in the universe loves you. I love that. Loves us. Loves us. Hallelujah. Without bonds, without merit, and that love will never, ever go away, will never, ever fade, diminish, or change. It's true. It will always be true. Whether you run out of this church and say, I'm never serving God again, and I don't care what they have to say, and God, I don't love you, He will still love you. Amen. And like my husband said, he is a sucker. And I believe you won't have any unrest or you won't have any peace until you invite that love. Say, God, here I am. I need you. I want that love in my life. Hallelujah. I want to know who I am, that I am the beloved, that I am a son of God, the son of the Most High. Hallelujah. You are and always we will be God's beloved. And we are here to help each other trust that we are His. Amen. You have to believe that you are His and that He loves you. And then you're here to help others believe that. Do you understand? You're here to believe it. And then look around and we are here to help everybody else believe it too. Because there's going to be people come in those doors, I believe, that are going to come in that are not going to believe that God loves them, that they may have been on drugs, that they have maybe have been promiscuous in situations, that they may have been terrible family situations where they might not have had a mother or father that believes in them or stood up for them, or they might not believe that they are loved. And listen, they're going to come in here not thinking that God loves them, but they know that they need somebody to believe in them, and it's going to be through us. Amen. Because, listen, God is all around us. Amen. He's all consuming. Amen. But it takes some of us to go to them and say, I love you. And it's God wrapping them arms around you through you. Amen. And they need to believe it. They, you know, through you, that they will come to believe it, I believe. That they will come to know that God loves them, that you love them, that we love them. I said, God, give us the ones that nobody wants. Give us the ones that the church has said, well, I love them, but I don't want them. And them. You know, they pick and choose who they want to love, whatever they look like and how they may dress and act. No, I want the ones in the world that nobody wants. Send them here so they can believe that God loves them and we love them. Hallelujah. Through Christ. Hallelujah. So we are His beloved, and then we have to act out and show them, amen, that they are God's loved also. Hallelujah. Whether you are black or white, hallelujah, you are God's beloved. Hallelujah. Whether you are Republican or Democrat, you are God's beloved. Hallelujah. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're young or old, employed, unemployed, married, single, divorced, or widowed, hallelujah. I keep going too fast. listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. You are God's beloved. It's not one class of people. All of us. Hallelujah. All of us. Hallelujah. A people being who God dreams for us to be. A people who hear, trust, and desire to know that they are loved. Amen. A voice that says, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." That's what God says about you. Amen. That's what God is saying about me, about you, that you are His beloved. And He says, "I am well pleased with you." Amen. Because He doesn't see our faults and failures. He sees us in Christ as a son. Amen. And He sees that we are altogether lovely. Amen. He sees who we can be, our potential. He knows who we can be. He doesn't see what we see, all our shortcomings, all our faults, all our failures, all this. You know, we need to cast that aside and see us as He sees us. Amen. He takes great delight in us because we are, amen, His sons. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to earn His love. And I love my daughter just because she's my daughter. She doesn't have to come to me and tell me that all these great things or anything. I just love Kristen because she's mine. Amen. I just love her. You know, all of us that have children, we just love our kids because that's who they are. Amen. They don't have to do anything to work it up. They were given to us as gifts. Amen. And that is like God saying to you, you don't have to do anything. You're my child. Amen. You are my beloved. You don't have to earn it. Just receive it. Just receive my love. Hallelujah. Yet, we all struggle with feelings of rejection. Amen. With guilt. And the problem is not that God has not revealed how much He loves us. Rather, we don't give ourselves permission to be loved unconditionally and forgiven totally. When you ask Christ to forgive you, it's done. And it's totally done. Amen? Unless you keep bringing it up in your mind, but I did this and this and this. Give it to Him. Because He did it. He took it to the cross. It's done. Believe Him unconditionally that He loves you and that your sin is forgiven once and for all. Done. Done. But you know what? I was reminded of this also. You know, we can be forgiven of something and say it's lying or, you know, something like that. And you lie and you go, "God, I don't want to do that. Please forgive me." And He does. And then we go and do it again and again and again. He still forgives you. But there comes a point where we have to grow up and stop doing that. Amen? Stop doing that and give it to God fully. Okay? Don't pick it back up. Amen? Put it under the blood and say, "God, once and for all, I want it done away with in the name of Jesus." And believe it and don't pick it up again. Because you are made new in Christ. Hallelujah. Because of the sacrifice Jesus made, because of the blood He shed for our iniquities, all of our sins for our entire life, past, present, future, is done. It's cleared from the record, and they do not exist in the mind of God. Amen? So from your past, your present, your future, they don't exist. Amen? I just want to say, you know, and I've been saying this is, and I feel like I'm going over and over, and that's, I guess, what I do when I speak, is trying to get it into us, get it into our spirits, is giving ourselves permission to see ourselves the way He does. Amen. Totally accepted and totally loved. And I am clear about who I am. It's in Christ. You are who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Put up Galatians 2:20. it says, I am crucified with Christ, amen. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Believe this scripture, hallelujah, that you are crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth right here in me. Hallelujah. Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Amen. It's in Christ. Right here. In Christ. In Christ. Hallelujah. The life, your life is hid with him. He loved me and gave himself up for me. Hallelujah. And then in Matthew 3:17. It says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. That was the verse, too, that we've been talking about. In the beloved of God. And also, Paul, when he wrote to the churches and wrote to the other disciples, he wrote many times, how did he start his letters? Or how did he what he was writing? Most of the time he said, beloved. Beloved. I wish that you would prosper as your soul prospers. You know, beloved. He would start his writings with beloved. Amen. Our very existence in relationship to God is a love existence, a love relationship. And this is the key. It is what Christ's relationship was to the Father, is what we have with the Son. And God is saying to the Son, he is saying, I am well pleased with you. And now the Son is in us, and he is well pleased with us. The relationship that they had between the Father and Son is the same relationship that we have. It's a Father-Son relationship. Amen? 128 occasions Paul quoted in writings in Christ. It is in the beloved he chose us in him. We are in Christ. Hallelujah. So 128 times when he wrote in Christ or in the beloved. Amen. So I believe it has to be important that when he wrote that, he wanted them to know that you are beloved, that you are in Christ. Hallelujah. So in Romans 8:35, it says, who shall separate us? Who or what? I like to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Hallelujah. What can separate us? Think about that. All the things that we could ever think about. What can separate you from Christ? There is nothing that can separate you. Nothing that can separate you from Christ. Life, death, things present, things to come, none of these shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Whether you die, pass away, it cannot separate you. You are still in Christ. Whether all these things that try to come upon you or befall you, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ Jesus. It cannot separate you. The union is so much a part of himself that it would be like dividing God and dividing his Son. Is Christ divided? No. We cannot divide Christ. Amen. It cannot be divided. Hallelujah. You cannot divide Christ into parts without destroying his very person. So this love makes for such a oneness with God that to separate would be to destroy an organism. You can't do it. God cannot separate who he is from himself. He cannot do it. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor this nor that, can separate us. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing. And then Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth and the height. Hallelujah. And to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hallelujah. So he wants us to know that neither breadth or length, or depth, or height shall be able to separate us. And I like to picture a cross. You know, if you can picture, you know, the cross. Nothing from the height, the depth, the breadth, or the length.
He died there.
So nothing, he took it all to the cross. Nothing shall be able to separate you. Amen? Nothing. I know the love of Christ can abound more and more in love. His great love wherewith he loved us. Hallelujah. It can abound. His love can abound unto you. Hallelujah. I don't know. I think I left off there. But I just wanted to encourage you. I guess I didn't finish. I hope. How much that he so dearly loves you. Amen. That you are his beloved. There's nothing you can make him do that make you want him any, him to make you want him, you, him to make you want him any more or less. Amen. There's nothing that can take away his love from you. And we have to walk in it and believe it. I believe in this day and age, we have to truly believe who we are, because those ones coming in need to hear so much, so much. And if we don't know who we are, then we can't share with them who they are, because we're still struggling with it. I want us to be so strong and know that you are a son of Christ, and know that we can accomplish this, and know that, listen, God has everything for you, and it's available. His love, his goodness, his mercy, everything is available. We just have to receive it and believe it and just say, God, here I am. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving this unconditional love to me. And I just have to believe who I am. Amen. I know that there are people sitting in churches that do not believe that they are loved. And it's the saddest thing. Because if they believed who Christ was and what he did, how can you not believe that he loves you? His ultimate sacrifice to the cross took upon that. I mean, we, when we were studying a little bit about that, and I know several years ago we played that Passion of the Christ, and it shows a little bit. But if you really know the beatings that he took, I mean, we think that it's just a whip on the back. It wasn't. Like, it was brutal. I mean, scourging. Like, they had a whip, and it had spikes on it. So when they hit him in the back, it went into him, and it ripped like his flesh. It didn't just like it wasn't like just a belt hitting him or a whip hitting him. It was brutal. And then that alone, they said, should have killed him, because it was just, I mean, his back was just ripped up. And then he had to carry the cross. And we think it's just you know, couple 2x4. No, this cross was rugged, and you know, when he had to put it on his back and carry it, and then once they got up there and nailing, and they said that, we've seen it in the movie, that, you know, when they drove in the spikes, and do you think he even died? And maybe he didn't die. He could not walk away from that. He couldn't, and he wouldn't, because he knew that everything that he had to take to that cross was for us. And if we could just see that and really realize it, we know what he did, but if we can really, like, understand his ultimate sacrifice of what he did for us, then it would change us and arrest us, that we would stop saying that we're not, God, you don't love us. You don't love it. You know, we would quit saying this, and we would quit not believing who we are. That we would stand in it and know that who we are, that we are a son. Because he took it to that cross so that we could know who we are. Amen. So I love all of you. I hope this encouraged you. I know sometimes it's, you know, when I study, it's a lot for me also, and I'm receiving it. And I just pray, I'm going to end with a song, I always do, and just enter in. Are the words up there tonight? So she has the words tonight. I prayed this one time for Power Fit. This is a song that just, oh, it gets in my spirit, and I just can't get enough of sometimes. So sometimes when I worship, this is a song that I go to a lot. So I just ask, you know, just wherever you are, just enter in. And know that his love for you is so amazing and unconditionally, without end, without fail, that he loves you. Believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh.